It's The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. In San Juan today, demonstrators are in the streets for May Day protest. The island still struggles with electricity blackouts and shortages in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. Then last month, a federal control board approved tough new austerity measures, putting even more pressure on residents. Donica Cotto is in San Juan, a reporter for the Associated Press in Puerto Rico.
There's a lot of anger over the new austerity measures. The biggest sticking point for people here is a 10% cut to a public pension system that faces nearly $50 billion in liabilities. So a lot of people worry that they, you know, won't be able to basically live with a reduced pension on an island, you know, where costs are already expensive, salaries are not keeping pace. In addition, the board also voted to reduce vacation and sick leave. And there's also growing fear of layoffs amid a push to consolidate dozens of government agencies. So people were already struggling before the hurricane hit. The Category 4 storm hit, killed, you know, dozens of people, according to government estimates. And on top, caused up to an estimated $100 billion in damage. And now, you know, new austerity measures are coming. So people have basically had enough. And many worry that this protest will turn violent toward the end of the day.
And I want to ask you about that. Why are people concerned that it might turn violent? And what does security look like?
There's a lot of dozens of police officers posted at the Capitol building, in the financial center. And last year, it became violent toward the end of the day. A lot of the protesters had already left, but there were a couple of dozen of younger university students, and they, you know, started fires. They broke several windows of buildings in the financial center. And this was before any austerity measures had been approved. So people believe, you know, that the anger is boiling over at this point over the new measures that the board approved. So they expect, you know, something similar might happen this time around or even worse.
Well, people in the streets marching in protest of these austerity measures, Donica. But is there any significant pressure on the control board or on officials in Puerto Rico to reconsider?
There is a lot of significant pressure. The governor has refused to implement many of those measures, and the case will probably go to court to decide, you know, whether the board does have the authority to impose this. Legislators have said they're not approving any of the bills. And there's just a lot of anger that Puerto Rico will be hit, you know, with more austerity measures, especially so soon after a hurricane. You know, there's still tens of thousands of people without power. There's still some people without water. A lot of people are still waiting for secure shelter, and the hurricane season starts in a month.
So in addition to all of the challenges that people in Puerto Rico are facing, not only with their housing and their water, but their employment and their pensions, they're facing yet another hurricane season, Donica.
Correct. And there's a lot of fear that Puerto Rico is really not prepared for this. By June, federal officials expect to have a plan on how to strengthen the island's power grid, which, you know, the hurricane destroyed about 75% of transmission lines. So there's this fear that the island will not be prepared for another hurricane of that category or even lesser. You know, some 130,000 people have left the island permanently, many believe. But those who remain behind are still trying to find adequate shelter. They're still struggling with power outages. I mean, even people who have power now, outages are just basically occurring every week. So there's just this anxiety overall, you know, that the island is not prepared.
Donica Cotto in San Juan for the Associated Press. Donica, as always, thank you.
Thank you very much.
May Day is an official holiday in a lot of parts of the world, where it also coincides with International Workers' Day. Here in the U.S., it's not a national holiday, but it has been associated with a symbolic recognition of workers' rights. Donna Haverty-Stack is here with some May Day history. She's professor of history at City University of New York Hunter College and author of the book America's Forgotten Holiday, May Day and Nationalism from 1867 to 1960.
Actually not only caught on in the United States, but originated in the United States. And that's something that a lot of people aren't aware of, in part because the memory of the holiday was, as one historian has phrased it, purposely forgotten during the Cold War years in the United States. But it did originate in the United States.
And I wanted to ask you about that. Was May Day essentially erased because of its association with socialism, communism? I mean, it was a huge Russian holiday. Was that enough to make it unpopular in the United States after a certain point?
That certainly was at the core of it. By the 1930s, the Communist Party, USA, had come to dominate the event. In New York City, for example, at the height of the Popular Front years in 1939, 700,000 people came out for May Day, 200,000 marching in the street, 500,000 spectators, most of whom were affiliated with the Communist Party. So then once you come through the World War II and into the Cold War, that association with the CPUSA certainly contributed to the holiday's demise. So absolutely, that association with communism and then in the context of the Cold War made May Day, which was always in some ways a misfit in American popular political culture, very much untenable.
Well, May Day isn't such a misfit in other countries around the world, certainly not in Russia and in Moscow, where it remains a popular tradition, but other countries as well, where May Day's been undergoing a little bit of a makeover and a resurgence.
Yes, and even in the United States, one could say, in the last 10 or 20 years, slowly and in small pockets in Seattle and other places where people are, some folks are aware of the roots in the United States, but more are talking about it as the context you were just mentioning, International Labor Day, International Workers' Day. It's sort of finding its way back to the United States, and that's the history that has long been forgotten, in part because the mainstream U.S. labor movement itself moved away from May 1st and embraced what is now our September Labor Day to suit its particular economic and political goals, as May 1st became associated as early as 1890 with international socialism and was embraced by anarchists who conflated the Haymarket events on May 4th, the bombing in Haymarket and the subsequent arrests and execution of anarchists who were accused of being involved in that violence. That was something mainstream trade unionists didn't want to go near. They didn't want to be affiliated with that radicalism. And so September, the September Labor Day holiday, became more suitable for their goals of demonstrating militancy and solidarity, certainly towards their employers, but also wanting to win the public support for unions in an era when merely coming together to bargain collectively was a radical act.
Well, what does May Day represent today?
I think, you know, one of the interesting things about May Day throughout its long history, and you see it today, is its ability to host various messages. I think at the core, because May 1st is also May Day, as long as for centuries been associated as a rite of spring with the emphasis on renewal and rebirth, that it has that message of hope and liberation. And that is something the workers in the United States certainly tapped into in their iconography and in their messaging in the late 19th century. And I think people still do that today. They have both that older association with renewal and rebirth and hope, but the parallel message of the international solidarity and the desire for people who feel dispossessed, who feel subjected to larger forces, to resist that.
Whether you call it a rite of spring or a celebration of international worker solidarity, I hope you enjoy some time outside today, Professor.
Thanks so much. You have a good day.
Donna Haverty-Stack is a professor of history at City University of New York Hunter College.